second. We're on page 52 at the bottom page, 51 and 52, and that means we're at the end of chapter 12, and we're at the part. So too in matters affecting a person's relations with his neighbor. So there we have it. Yeah.
A neighbor can be a country.
Right. So here we are. That's in the English, and in the Hebrew it's v'chein b'dvarim. Do you see that? It's nine lines up. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines up, two words from the end of the line, there's a full stop, and then it says v'chein b'dvarim.
I don't think I've got it. I've got it.
Right, okay.
Got it.
Now, this we're just concluding the chapter, this chapter 12, which is talking about the Beinoni, which is a person, a man or a woman, who's totally in control of what they do and what they say and what they think. Now, the basic idea here is that any of us could achieve this at any time. We could just snap our fingers and there it is, we are totally in control. And for many people, perhaps for most people, the problem is we're too lazy. We're in control part of the time and then we let it go. We lose it on one level or another, and then we regain control. So that puts us in a different category of not being a Beinoni. But the Beinoni is a person who is always in control and never loses it, and whatever happens is always going to maintain that control over what they do and what they say and even what they think. And he's talking here about the way in which the Beinoni does not relax this control, not for a moment. V'chein b'dvarim, and here we're at the end of this chapter, which we're just going to finish off now with the help of God. V'chein b'dvarim shebein adam l'chaveiro, similarly with things between one person and another. Now there's often some kind of aggression, negative feeling between people in all kinds of situations, and it's an unfortunate aspect of life that these frictions with other people is so common. Now, so what does the Beinoni do? The intermediate person who does not want to relax his or her hold, mastery of themselves, as soon as there arises from that person's heart into their mind some kind of complaint against the other person, some kind of complaint, some of claim, why did they do that, or even worse, hatred, God forbid. You see, it might be an actual real feeling of hatred for something or other. Or maybe just like that. I mean, sometimes there's a beautiful tract of Hasidic teaching written by the fifth of the Babi Tzedeva, the Rebbe Rashab, about the way sometimes a person just can't tolerate the existence of someone else. They get in their way just by existing. And these are unfortunate emotions that real human beings have. You know, it would be nice if we always had positive thoughts about everyone else, but very often we are beset by negative thoughts. So as soon as there arises in this person's mind some sort of claim or hatred, God forbid, oy ezekina, or some kind of jealousy, oy kas, or anger. Oikapeda. Now, kapeda means that he's upset about something. Why did he do that? And I don't want to tolerate this. You know, like a kapeda means that the person does not give in. You see, you might have a situation, let's say someone else sits in your chair. It's some situation where there's your chair that you normally sit on. And someone's sitting on your chair. So you might feel so what? Or you might feel upset. And that's called maktiv, a kapeda. I remember once someone telling me that she went to a synagogue, and she didn't very often go to a synagogue, but this time she went, and the women's section was empty. So she went and sat in the front row of seats, like it was a balcony type of thing. She went and sat at the front row of seats in the middle. And there were maybe, you know, like two or three women, you know, like came in, sat different places around her. Suddenly she hears a voice behind her. Who's sitting in my place? And she just felt so terrible. She got up and walked out. You know, she was so upset. That's right. That's right. But she was extremely upset. But so the person couldn't bear that someone was sitting in their seat, even though there were lots and lots of seats all around. The whole thing was 90% empty.
It's like in an old person's home.
I was going to say that.
Havoc.
Especially in my chair.
You need to give them Valium to come.
Yes, I've seen that. Not with scissors, but because they don't know anything where he is anyway, don't care. But in some places where they still know, you don't take their seat away. Mm. It's very upset.
They're like that, aren't they?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
They are.
It's a habit. My little patch.
Now, so the point is, there are all these different feelings that might come to the person. A complaint about a person, a hatred, jealousy, anger, upset about this or that. He gives a whole list of possibilities.
Especially if somebody is parking in front of your door and you want to be there.
Parking in front of your garage.
Things like that don't bother me one little bit. I don't own the street. If somebody parks outside my door, I park outside someone else's door. But some people, I had a neighbour who was most very, very upset if he parked outside his door. He had no legitimate right there, but he just didn't like it.
And
he really got really outraged over it. So that's another example.
You've got an appointment and somebody's parked outside your garage door to drive me round the bend for the appointment.
Right. But some people take that very seriously.
Yeah.
Other people don't care. I don't care.
Now, the interesting thing with the Beinoni, you see, the way in which these feelings move, it says it goes from the heart to the mind. The anger or upset or irritation starts in the heart. It doesn't start in the mind. You see, the mind is able to see all kinds of different sides to the issue. You know, the mind can find an excuse for anything. But it's the heart that gets aggressive and upset or jealous or one of these other emotions. And so as soon as it moves, this emotion moves from the heart, where you may not be so aware of it, it's sort of hatching in the heart, this bad emotion. And it moves up into the mind, and suddenly you've actually got this thought of anger or hatred or jealousy or upset coming into your mind, the domain, anything similar to these negative thoughts, and it's come into your mind. You don't accept them at all in your mind with your will. In your mind and in your will. You don't accept them. You're not having anything to do with such a thought.
I don't know how they do it.
Well, that's a very honest response.
Honest? I don't know.
I think you can you
some things you can, you know.
Oh, yes.
Some things you can't. Some things are there
inside. They're there. That person is really... After 52 years, I spent my mind to a particular person. I didn't do it all the time, and then I did it. 52 years, it took me.
I mean, I wish I could do what he does and switch off and don't worry about it. See his
You're
point of view and not mine.
Oh, how wonderful.
They're saints.
But you can't help it.
Well, you see, the point that he's making is that they're not saints. Because they have the bad thought. A tzaddik would not have the bad thought at all.
It was
No.
You see, that's a higher level.
Yeah.
But it was true.
What is it? You told someone after 50 years.
Which I kept secret all the time. I said it was true. It was true.
What did you say?
Nothing. And she still phoned me up. She'll so never speak to me again. Good. Good. That's a good thing.
Sometimes.
She never speak to me again after that, but she did.
Sometimes it's important if people have a blank spot to, you know.
No, it was true.
Yeah.
I just didn't say it because it's one upset members of the family, you see, and thrown that out.
Sometimes we all know inside ourselves that hurt me because there's some truth in it. I learned that a few years ago. If I was really hurt, I thought, yeah, it hit the nail on the head. Something you've done wrong, something about me, and you have to sit and work it out. That I can do. I can do that.
No, work it out. It
work
true.
Out what's wrong with me and why they said that.
What's wrong with the other
it
way.
It's true what you said.
What's wrong with the other way.
But, you know, we're not safe, so...
If somebody's doing something that is...
I'm all right, it's you.
...good for them or other people...
Not me. You.
I think you have a responsibility to find it out in a way that's diplomatic.
Well, okay, now this is a different thing. This is a mitzvah. What Michelle's speaking about is the mitzvah of... You should reprove a person. If a person is doing something wrong... And you can see that it's not good for them, what they're doing. Mm. It might be also something that is annoying you in some way.
Mm.
And so there is the idea that you should talk to them about it.
Yes, but you sometimes, if you talk to a person, it becomes a confrontation and you'd rather not. So you don't. But the feeling is still there. And I don't really like confrontations, to be honest with you.
Right.
But the feeling is still there.
Yeah.
And one day it's going to happen.
Well, you see, that's the point. To find a way of speaking about it before it explodes. You see, because some people, they don't say anything, but the anger mounts up and up and up and up.
The feeling's
there. Worse and worse. And one day it explodes and they shout and, you know, it's very unpleasant. Mm. Whereas if one could find a way... to be upfront, you know, they teach you assertiveness training. You know how to say, "Thank you, that's my place." You know, thank you very much. You know, but just to be able to say what you mean without it wounding the other person, but just being
nasty.
Open and assertive about it in a positive way. You know, that is needed. Very often. And,
I don't have a confrontation, really. That's why I'd rather avoid.
Well, the trouble is that there are people who don't do anything until they get so angry that they blow up completely.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the problem.
That's not so good.
But here, what we're talking about here is not a matter of correcting the other person, but... that the person makes you feel upset in some way, which really has nothing to do with telling them this or telling them that. It's just that you're upset about this, or you're jealous, or some kind of negative feeling you know, it's not as if the person will change. It might be they remind you of someone that you don't like, and so whenever they see you see them, you think of this person you don't like, and then you feel, you know, we are so much not in control of our emotions. It's very interesting. There's a saying, there's a verse in the Talmud, in the Tanakh, in the Bible, V'horoshoyim, and the wicked ones, Kayom Nigrash, are like a restless sea. So it's like the heart of a person, you know, which is restless, moving this way and that, feeling this kind of bad thought, that kind of bad thought, and all the time feeling bad things. Now what we have to try and do is control that restless sea. And as soon and our heart, to be a normal human being, our heart is very likely filled with all kinds of negative thoughts.
I mean, I don't like it, because you know that when you've done it, you've lost control, and that is a thing. It is horrible. You see, you shouldn't have done that.
When you shouted at them?
Yeah, even shout. I didn't even shout. I just said it.
You didn't lose control.
On the other hand, it was a way of losing control, because I'd not said it all the time.
Right.
And it is. I don't like confrontation. I don't really like myself. When I lose control, I don't like myself. I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of it at all. It is sometimes, and I'm not proud of it.
Proverb talks about this.
Proverbs?
Yes.
Yes.
A lot. I was reading it this week.
Very nice. Very nice. Yes, you're quite right. Yeah. So here we have, now Beth said, I don't know how they manage. And we need to be very clever with ourselves. I think you need a good sense of humour. If we were going to start...
If we were going to start
really taking control inside this inner world, you know, it's as if, do you let someone into your home? Well, I'll let them into the front room because that's nice and tidy. But there's a back room which isn't tidy at all. I'm not going to let them in there. And sometimes the front room's not tidy either, and you have to have a week in order to put away all the boxes and all the papers and stuff like that, and then they can come and visit for 5 minutes. Now, would we invite someone into our minds?
If I don't want them, no. I don't want them there.
Well, that's a different thing.
I'd be afraid in case they could read my thoughts. I'd have to change my thoughts probably a bit.
Well, that's the issue.
I don't want them there. I don't want them there.
I'd have to start thinking about beautiful things like flowers and trees and birds and nature. Not who I'm fed up with, and this, that, and the other. Because our minds are full of rubbish, you know. Sometimes.
I don't know about that. I wouldn't say that, wouldn't it, like that? It's if I don't.
Rina's got a very innocent mind, isn't she?
Oh, no. I don't want them there.
Very, very purely.
I'm positive. I don't want them there. I don't want them there. Don't get in my way and don't get under my skin.
If someone got in your head without you knowing it, they could read and hear your thoughts. You might be embarrassed, or you might not care.
That's right. I don't care.
No, Rini would be honest.
I don't care.
You've got nice thoughts.
Yeah.
I don't care. I told them they wasn't there.
Yeah, but you're not worried about it.
Most of the time I don't, actually. Most of the time people don't really... won't bother me, because I mean, most of the time I meet people like them, yeah, like them. Sometimes it's something that you might work with somebody and you don't like them, but you've got to work with them, and you can't have a confrontation because your boss is there and there's trouble, so you can't, otherwise you leave the job, you know. So you've got to say, well, you don't like that person, but you have to ignore it.
You know, really, the boss is there all the time. The boss. Is Hashem.
Our friend.
Yes.
You see, and there are all these people around us, many of whom are rather difficult people.
Difficult, yes.
But because the boss is there watching, and watching what I'm thinking, so yes, we better be a little bit careful.
I'm always asking him to forgive my
thoughts. I can't hide that from him, can I? I can't hide that from him. I don't really like that girl over there. I don't like what she says. But I've got to work with her just the same. We've got to work together.
Yeah, but you might be right that what she says is
yes,
right.
Yeah,
the thing
I always thought she was a bit
angry
and anti-Semitic, to be honest.
Well, he might be right.
I always had this strong feeling that the racist thing there, and I didn't like it, you know. It was racist. I didn't like it, but you have to work with all kinds of people.
Mm.
Well,
if you're suspicious of her of that,
I
don't think
you
don't have to be guilty. You don't have to feel guilty.
I just keep.
So the question is just simply how to relate to her. But there are other people who haven't, they're not negative in that kind of way. But they're negative in some other way. I mean, there's something or other which is a problem about them, and the question is how much we waste our time thinking negative thoughts. Now, the point is that we want to have a pure inner mind,
yes,
which is wholesome and pure.
That.
Yes, that would be nice. And we do not want to think bad about other people, and so therefore, as soon as this thought comes into our mind, we don't accept them at all in our mind and our will. The other rabba, and on the contrary, hamoyach shalit umoisho, the mind rules beruach shebeliboy over the feelings in one's heart. La'asoy sahesach mamash, to do the very opposite. Now this is really difficult. Lehisnaigim chaveroi, to conduct oneself with your friend, b'midas chesed, with kindness, v'chibo yaseira, and extra love, mudasloi, real extra love, lisbol mimenu, to suffer from this person, ad k'tseya achron, to the last extreme, whatever it is that they're doing, which is so irritating, and not to lose your temper, God forbid. So in other words, the person is doing irritating things, and you find this way of putting up with it, and that way of putting up with it, and you think about them in this way and in that way, and you somehow get through without losing your temper.
Perhaps when you've had 8 years of sleep deprivation, I think it goes beyond any human capacity to actually, there are limits.
You mean because of noisy neighbours?
Yeah. I mean, how many?
There you are, you see. That's another thing, you see.
In the nurses' home, in hospital, the home sister used to advise nurses who couldn't sleep to buy earplugs and go to bed early and take earplugs. And it worked. Because there are nurses who can't stand the noise of people walking along the corridors, and so that was that's what she suggested in that hospital.
It's a difficult situation though when you've got these things.
Very difficult. Yeah, they are
very hard. But it is a solution until you get somewhere else to live.
At least with me, I went home and the girl wasn't there when I went home.
So
that girl that was
sitting
opposite me wasn't
difference.
There. But if you've got to live with this thing all the time. You're really difficult. Really difficult.
You do need to buy earplugs.
I've got earplugs.
Have you used them? Or do they give you a headache? Sometimes you don't. Sometimes earplugs give you a headache. Because I've tried them.
The stench of crack cocaine coming up from the balcony through the window and the banging and the thumping and the boom of it in the stereo.
It is terrible.
I'm glad to say I don't have any of that. At least I have a very peaceful home and a peaceful atmosphere now.
Yes, your streets are quiet.
And I'm very lucky.
And mine is too.
In that respect.
Yeah.
My home is my haven, you see. So I can more or less relax there. Which is very difficult if you can't. Don't think I've not been in that
situation happen at some time or other. We all have a situation, don't we?
I have those situations with buddies.
We've got railings
and keys and electrical gates and goodness knows what. Yes. And it's quite safe now. Quiet.
Good. That's what you want, really.
All right, now it goes on. Vegam loy l'shalem loy kafar loy chas l'shalem. Also not to pay back the other person. See, sometimes a person does something negative to us. Thank you very much. Sometimes a person does something negative to us, and it's very tempting. You know, you see an opportunity that you could pay them back in some way, but you restrain. You restrain. I mean, ideally, you know, that's the idea. The problem is there's the normal problems which come from other people in everyday life, and then there are extraordinary problems. Now, Michelle, I think in your case you're actually suffering extraordinary problems, right, which are, you know, would be very, very difficult for anyone to suffer. But Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the author of this book, Tanya, he does talk about an example for someone is trying to daven. And the non-Jew comes over to them and starts making fun of them and insulting them while they're davening. Now, that's a pretty heavy thing.
Does it happen?
Well, it obviously has happened.
Imagine it happens. Oh, yes, I would say it can happen quite easily.
Well, you see, normally, if people are davening at home or in shul, or they're in a more safe situation, but sometimes people have to daven in
at the airport.
Right, in the airport.
I've seen things happen at the airport.
Or on a bus, and they get funny looks.
Yeah, I don't care.
That's right.
So it's very difficult to put up with that, really.
I was once davening in a station, I think it was Crewe station. I had to travel across England, and so I was taking a train from one place to another, and I got off at Crewe station. I had to change the train, and it was time for the afternoon prep. So I went into the waiting room in the railway station, and I began davening mincha, which doesn't take long, 5-10 minutes. When I finished davening, I saw there were now two women actually sitting on the chairs in the waiting room, and one said to me, "Excuse me, could I ask what you were just doing?"
So I said,
"I was praying to God." So she said, "Well, I thought so. And I think that's a very good thing."
That's a different thing. But I mean, some people can be the exact opposite.
Throw a stone at him while he's davening, or you know, people are like this.
I've never seen that. I mean, look, it could be. And the point, and Rabbi Shneur Zalman describes it in Tanya.
And in this day, it did happen a lot, didn't it? Yeah. The Russians.
Absolutely.
Cossacks.
So he says, what should you think at that moment? You should think that because your soul is coming so close to God in the davening, so it could well be that there is like an aggressive attempt to stop you concentrating. So you've just got to concentrate more.
It could be, because it could be so jealousy that you've got something that
well, it may well be jealousy on the part of the non-Jew, but in spiritual terms, it's an attempt to dislodge you because there's something so beautiful and wonderful about your cleaving to God. So at that moment, just redouble your efforts and give yourself over to God at that moment, and it might be that that davening, when someone was making fun of you, was the most sweet and beautiful davening you ever achieved, because you threw yourself into the arms of Hashem. You know, just
I see what you're saying, and I yes. also think that according to where you are, the dangerous place you might be.
Well, that's
no,
another
you've
thing.
You've got to be careful.
That's another thing. You do have
I
to
do
be careful. The Talmud says, be careful when picking a place where to daven, because it might be it's dangerous in one way or the other.
Mm.
You know, so you
you
do.
You can't daven in toilets.
No, be quite right.
No. Just isn't you daven where you're going through a neighbourhood where there's a lot of Muslims quite late?
I've seen Muslims in the middle of the afternoon.
That's not what you mean.
Any laugh.
You mean
dangerous
in... I don't know whether... Well, funny enough...
Not always, not always. I mean, as I say, I live at my road of Muslims there. And in fact, they always acknowledge my husband and they acknowledge me.
I've seen Muslims me, I acknowledge them.
I don't think...
In the side of the road.
I don't think...
Where?
Any laughs.
Yes.
And I thought, how wonderful, he's dazzling, you know.
A man.
But doing what
right.
he wants, yeah. And no one bothered.
But if you're going through a dangerous place, isn't prayer supposed to be stronger than the danger?
Yeah.
Well, if you sense it's dangerous.
Yeah, so in other words, you're praying to Hashem, like just feeling your connection with Hashem, despite the fact
that he's been Jewish and davened in a Muslim country, he might have had stones thrown at him.
I had to travel
sure.
on Pakistani Airlines, and I had to daven on the plane. It was a flight from New York.
Mm.
And they were extremely respectful. Extremely respectful. The stewardesses, we understand we have to, mustn't disturb you.
Because we hear
so much of the terrible things
that we think everybody's terrible.
And not everybody isn't.
And not everybody. I mean, I think that if I governed in my room and it was Muslim, I don't think they'd worry me at all.
No.
To be honest with you, we don't have that same good.
Some Muslims claim that the reason why they're anti-Jewish is because the Jews aren't religion.
Because
the Jews aren't religious.
They do say that.
Yeah, so it's a very complicated thing,
yes.
And also they are swept into a political storm,
yes.
And they as individuals may not be very happy about that, but they don't quite know what to do. You know, they haven't got someone standing up and saying no, we can't. We're not going to give in to this nastiness.
Yes.
So the point is, we have to see everything that happens to us as coming directly from Hashem to us. And it's all that interaction, you and Hashem, the whole time. And so whatever is around you, that's just the environment that Hashem is giving you in order to squeeze the best out of you. And sometimes the Jewish people are like an olive. When you squeeze the olive, that's when you get the clear, beautiful oil.
Yeah.
So Michelle, you're being... But Hashem should help you, and you should get into a better situation and move, and you will not have the problem anymore.
Maybe get a transfer from council to council.
Yeah, with the help of Hashem. Something like that. Now, let's finish. Eila adarabba, but on the contrary, ligma lechayovim toivois, to be nice to people who are nasty. Incredible.
Mm.
Pretty hard.
How?
Well, maybe you promise yourself a chocolate cake at the end.
No,
be
nice to somebody who's extremely rude and you know, be rather nice and smile at them and laugh.
Just don't take it personally.
And sometimes they think, oh well,
if they're nasty, if you react to them, then they probably expect you to react.
Mm.
But if you don't, it's usually a surprise, because they're looking for people look for a response.
Mm.
Or a reaction.
They look for confrontation
and,
as well.
Yeah, and so if you react in the way that they expect, then that just confirms what they already thought. But when you don't do that, then
that's a very good point.
But then perhaps they'll try a different
and then to laugh at
it. Well, there are ways.
And then in theory,
even more. You know, there's a tape about a melody that whoever hears that melody suddenly feels at peace. So it's a young man from this community, and he's a very good musician, and he like sings this whole thing about a piece of music, a melody, a song, and that anyone who hears the song immediately feels at peace. You know.
Yes, because music can do that.
I can't remember the name of the tape exactly, but it's a lovely idea.
Yeah. Yes.
When something's at peace, then you're with somebody. It affects.
Peace is contagious.
Of course it does.
Yes.
The thing is, if you're distressed or anxious or
well,
angry,
yes. Yes. So listen, there are lots and lots of knock-on effects. Mm. The butterfly effect. A butterfly can flap its wings in China and cause an earthquake in Chile. And it can be for good as well. You have a good thought in one place and it affects the world everywhere. So just to finish the chapter, as we're going to, it ends with a few words from the Zohar. The Zohar is the Book of Radiance. Kamosha Kosa B'Zohar, as it says in the Zohar about doing good things to people who have done bad, Lilmoid Li Yosef im Echov, to learn from Joseph and his brothers. Joseph's brothers sold him as a slave. They nearly killed him. Then they sold him as a slave. It was the most terrible thing. But when he met them many, many years later, he looked after them. He gave them corn. He gave them food. He wouldn't accept money from them. And he finally got his whole family together and he settled them happily in Egypt. So Joseph, instead of taking any kind of revenge on his brothers, he was very kind to them and nice to them.
But they didn't give him, he didn't give them the food until they brought the younger brother, Benjamin.
He gave them food. But he didn't reveal himself until they brought the younger brother, Benjamin. He was worried they would kill Benjamin.
Yes, so that was his way, in a way, I think. Of getting his own back.
It wasn't exactly getting his own back. He was trying to protect his brother, and when he saw how upset they were at having sold him, then he admitted who he was, and they were all amazed. So it's a very,
Joseph
very
wanted
moving
the story. Youngest brother. Benjamin.
Yeah, because Joseph and Benjamin were both the sons of Rachel, who passed away. There's one. Rachel.
They had the same mother, didn't they?
Yeah.
They must have suffered through what they did. They didn't get away with it.
You're right.
They must have suffered for years.
Each of them suffered in different ways.
Yeah.
Judah, particularly. He went away from everyone else. He lived a very unhappy life.
It's crazy to think you've done a thing like that.
Why wasn't Joseph bitter and revengeful and resentful?
Because he was a tzaddik. But he's an example for us.
I agree, really, that everything in life, even the things I said really is wrong, it's water under the bridge, really. Whatever. Yeah. It really is, and it isn't right. And you're quite right, we should have more control over what we say.
Because
it's all got to be water under the bridge in the end. Isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. And it really does. At the end of the day, it really does.
But he could still have been angry. You know, he could still have been very angry, but he wasn't.
It's like psychology, isn't it? But I think if they realised that they had done wrong and were repentant, I don't know what word would you use?
No, repent, it's a good one.
Not guilty, but they.
They recognised that they felt remorseful.
They saw their father suffering and fretting, and they had to live and watch that. It's been awful. Really, they really went through the mill.
Thank you very much.
Okay, ladies, I look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you.